The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 16th through Sunday, February 22nd, 2026. The commentary for February was written by Betty McWhorter, an Episcopal priest and third-generation reader of Forward Day by Day, who has served seven churches in five dioceses. She and her husband of 55 years retired to McMinnville, Oregon, where they enjoy their three adult children and their spouses and four grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, February 16th, begins as follows with a passage from Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? Here's the commentary. Each time I read this psalm, I think of someday appearing at the pearly gates. Will I be let in or sent away? The psalmist answers these opening questions posed in the very first verse. I am uncomfortable with the answers. Who may abide upon your holy hill? The psalmist answers the blameless, the truthful, the one who has sworn to do no wrong. I worry that I may be in trouble. Although I have sworn to do no wrong many times, I have fallen back on my promise just as many times. I am not blameless, nor have I always been truthful. My dwelling in God's tabernacle seems totally out of reach. Then I read from John's Gospel and the story of Peter denying Jesus not once but three times. Yet despite Peter's failures, Christ singles him out after the resurrection and gives him the keys to the kingdom. Jesus forgives Peter and calls him into being who God desires and needs. Maybe there is hope for me after all. And now I'm going to read the full psalm, number 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath, even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. And the moving forward question for this Monday, February 16th, is what biblical figure reassures you of God's love? The commentary for Tuesday, February 17th, begins with a passage from another psalm, Psalm 39, verse 3. So I held my tongue and said nothing. I refrained from rash words, but my pain became unbearable. Well, today we remember and honor Janani Luwum, a Ugandan born in 1922 and executed in 1977 by the brutal military dictator Idi Amin. As bishop, Luwum was a leading voice in protesting the violence and excesses of the dictatorship. He, along with other faith healers, was summoned to the president's palace on charges of treason. The official story was that Bishop Lewham died in a car accident, but his body was riddled with bullets, including a shot through the mouth. When I read this story alongside Psalm 39, I imagine the bishop coming to that place where he can no longer keep silent. The truth he speaks cost him his life. The truth he speaks provides an example to the world of a person who had the courage to speak truth to power. For Bishop Lewham, I give thanks and pray that I too have the strength to speak the truth, no matter the cost. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Psalm 39. I said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will keep a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. I was silent and still. I held my peace to no avail. My distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. While I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, let me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a few hand breaths, and my lifetime is as nothing in your sight. Surely everyone stands as a mere breath. Surely everyone goes about like a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. They heap up and do not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am silent. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am worn down by the blows of your hand. You chastise mortals in punishment for sin, consuming like a moth what is dear to them. Surely everyone is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not hold your peace at my tears, for I am your passing guest, an alien like all my forebears. Turn your gaze away from me, that I may smile again, before I depart and am no more. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is there a place in your life where speaking the truth is called for? Now we'll turn to the commentary for Wednesday, February 18th, which this year is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. And this commentary begins with another passage from Psalm, this one, 103, verse 14. For he himself knows whereof we are made. He remembers that we are but dust. The solemnity of Ash Wednesday is breathtaking. This might seem strange to say, yet in the midst of the busyness of life, and in the Northern Hemisphere, the lengthening of days and the coming of spring, sitting among the ashes is truly a gift. I think this in part because I love working in the garden. I love the feel of good earth, the crumble of dirt clods, the smell of freshly turned soil, and the promise of new life to come. Entering into Lent is a fragile time. We are asked to delve deep into our very selves. We are called to come face to face with those times when we have grieved God's Holy Spirit. 40 days are to be spent in the darkness, digging around, feeling the sticks and stones, and working faithfully to prepare the soil for new life. It is hard work. Hopefully, we will come to remember that this very dirt of life is from whence we came and to where we shall return. In between is life. For that, let us give thanks. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. And the moving forward question for this Ash Wednesday, how do you interpret the liturgy of Ash Wednesday in your life? The commentary for Thursday, February 19th, begins with a passage from Psalm 37, verse 9b. Do not fret yourself. It leads only to evil. Here we are on the second day of Lent, reading what a friend calls the Fret Not Psalm. It is a wise choice today, as many of us may already be fretting about our Lenten discipline. While evil may have various definitions, the psalmist seems to be telling us not to be consumed by fretting, anger, jealousy, or rage. All these things cause us to live in ways that God never intended. Our other readings address frettings as well. Habakkuk seems to be fretting that the renown of God is not found in present times. Paul acknowledges that he is in tears as he communicates with the church in Philippi. In the gospel, there's a hint of Jesus experiencing some fretness as he speaks to his disciples. Do they really understand him? Despite their fretting, the characters in our readings ultimately put those worries aside, moving forward to live as God calls them. This is a good reminder for us today to let go of fretting so that we can truly live. Now I'll read from Psalm 37. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, what are you fretting over today? Consider reading this psalm, Psalm 37, whenever you find yourself fretting. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, February 20th, a day on which we commemorate Frederick Douglass. It begins with a passage from Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. I am sitting in a hospital room. An elderly parishioner is lying in the bed, unconscious. His granddaughter sits across from me. We are talking about her grandfather, life, and her future. In the quiet, I notice that Charlie has stopped breathing. I say softly to my companion, "I think your grandfather has died." We sit in silence before calling the nurse to confirm. It is a peaceful death. The service of Compline, the bedtime prayers of the church, usher in that same feeling of a peaceful death for me. Death from the day just spent, waiting in the darkness for life in the new day, in whatever form it may arrive. During Compline, we pray these words from Psalm 31, which offer blessed reassurance, whatever may come in the night, we will be held by the hands of God. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord who has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight. But you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. And tonight, before you go to bed, pray the service of Compline if it is in your prayer book. In whatever prayer book you use, the psalm or the message that is there at the end of the day is the best one to remember when going through a very, very challenging time. The commentary for Saturday, February 21st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 20. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. It is often said that Episcopalians are not big on the word evangelism. We could zoom in and unpack this statement, or we could consider not the word, but the action. I once had a young Chinese woman in my parish. She grew up knowing nothing of God or Jesus. She is a very talented violinist. A friend invited her to church, and one Sunday she played her violin for us. As she performed, it was evident that she went to a different realm. When asked, she paused and said, "I always knew there was someone else with me when I played. Now I have a name, God." How would she have known the name of God if her friend had not invited her to church? How would she have known the name of God if she hadn't been asked where she went when she played? She might not feel comfortable using the term evangelism, but we are called to speak the name of God to others. Otherwise, how will they know? And now I'm going to read from the full passage of John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." And the moving forward suggestion for you on this Saturday is very simple. Tell someone today about God. Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of our program, let's turn to Sunday, February 22nd, the first Sunday of Lent. The commentary begins with a passage from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 15a. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden." There our story begins. God tells the man that he may eat of everything in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. From then on, God speaks to humanity. Humanity listens sometimes, and then we humans decide what we will do. The temptation to follow our own desires plays out throughout human history. On this first Sunday in Lent, we read of Jesus in the wilderness, tempted by Satan. Before Jesus heals anyone, teaches God's wisdom, and opens his arms to one and all, he goes into the wilderness and is tempted with human things, food, life, and ultimate power. He doesn't use his divinity to usurp Satan. He is fully human in his response. It seems so easy for Jesus. Why is it so hard for me to resist temptation? I've struggled with this question all my life, asking myself, what does it matter? I'm only one person. It comes down to this. I am only one person, yet one person plus one person plus one person and on into infinity. Ultimately, what I do matters to Christ and to others. Lord, give me strength. Now I'm going to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every little creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, and to all the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But the man there was not found, did not find a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, then he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God say, you shall not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of this tree and in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, is, what gives you the strength to resist temptation? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is intended for people, is actually a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Join me next week for a new program of readings and commentary. Goodbye until next time.